Trust you found your place in the book of Psalm 119, and we're in verse number 145, a new segment here in this wonderful Psalm, Psalm 119 and verse number 145. The Bible says, I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried. I hoped in thy word. Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. Hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness. O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgment. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for grace. Thank you for unmerited favor and mercy that you granted to us. We came to you with absolutely nothing, but yet, because of love, you've given us everything that pertains to life and to godliness. The Lord, we are humbled by your goodness towards us, and thank you so much for the privilege that we can be saved, we can be children of God, and we can be involved in your work here on planet Earth. May you continue to bless and give us wisdom and all that we need to accomplish your will as we seek to do more for you each and every day. Thank you for your goodness. May you bless your word as it goes for tonight, and may it speak to each heart in a special way. May we continue to be challenged to be closer drawn to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. Crying is often viewed as a response of pain, hurt, disappointment, sorrow. Crying is a natural human response. But people don't only cry because of sorrow or some negative emotion, hurt. But people also cry for joy. In fact, I have witnessed and seen people cry because somebody else is crying. I'm sure you've experienced or witnessed that sometimes you see people crying because they're watching a movie that we all know is not real. Actors playing out some made-up story in somebody's imagination. And you look over and you see people crying long tears. Because even though that movie is not real, it's fictitious, it has generated an emotional response. Emotion is a part of who we are. It is a part of our immaterial heart. We understand that the heart, not speaking of the physical organ, but our immaterial part, the seat of who we are, is our intellect, our emotion, and the will. In Psalm 119, in this segment that we read, the word cried is found in the first three verses. It's found in verse number 145, verse 146, and verse 147. And there are times that we are driven to cry. And sometimes that crying achieves results. Sometimes that crying brings about a particular transformation or an event, or it triggers a change in our lives or in somebody else's life. It accomplishes results. Kind of like my brother who you would have heard by now, that his crying accomplished the goal of not receiving a spanking. People cry for a variety of different reasons. But I want to preach a message tonight entitled, A Cry of the Heart. A Cry of the Heart. Because clearly in this particular segment, the psalmist was really crying. He may not have been crying tears, but his expression here in his words echo a cry of the heart. And we're going to observe some characteristics of this cry found here in this segment, in these 8 verses coming from the psalmist. I want you to notice, first of all, his cry was a deep cry. A deep cry. Verse 145 says, he cried with his whole heart. It was a cry that came from the depths of his soul, from a place of deep hurt, from a place of great need. Have you ever been so overcome with hurt that you felt like your heart was breaking? It tells us that we are not just physical beings, but we have emotions. We have pain and we experience hurt that goes beyond the physical. It's amazing that you can get a physical cut and you can feel the pain because the nerves have been interrupted. But you can also feel pain in your soul because of hurt that has impacted your emotions. Pain that goes beyond the physical. Pain that, if you've experienced this before, that you feel when you had a crush on somebody and you said to them that you liked them or you were in love with them, and they responded, "Sorry, but I just don't feel the same way." And you're crushed. I see people smiling. I guess I don't know if they're smiling because they were on the receiving end or because they made somebody else feel like that. But you cried. Anybody can identify with that? Anybody been on the receiving end of being crushed because you were so in love with somebody, but they were not in love with you? I have good news for you. There is hope. There is hope. Would you believe I told you that my wife told me that? And she's my wife today, so she told me I don't feel the same way, but look at that. My wife is right here. So if that's your predicament, there is hope. Amen? Oh, wow. You see that? I got a witness here, and his wife sitting right next to him. There is hope, my friends. Don't give up. But this cry was a deep cry. The psalmist says, I cried with my whole heart. But here's something else about this cry. It was a dependent cry. The psalmist says in verse number 145, he says, I cried with my whole heart. But look at this. He says, hear me, O Lord. He says in verse 146, he says, I cried unto thee. The psalmist here is crying, and he's crying to a particular person, none other than the Lord. Sometimes we cry, and we cry in private. We cry to ourselves. But sometimes we're willing to expose our emotions, and sometimes we cry to a particular person. Sometimes the reason is that we somehow feel that there is hope, that individual to whom we are crying would reciprocate and we respond with some comfort or provide solution to the problem. I would say to us, though, be careful who you cry to for help. They just might take advantage of your given state of vulnerability. But it's nothing wrong with crying to someone who has your interest, your best interest at heart. The psalmist here cried to the Lord because he knew that the Lord was for him. It was a cry of dependence. On the other hand, sometimes we are so full of pride that we don't want to cry, we don't want to admit that we are in need. The psalmist cried a dependent cry. He cried a deep cry, but notice thirdly, he cried a desperate cry. In verse 106, he says, I cried unto thee. Then he said these words, save me. This was not a cry just for sympathy or for comfort. He was saying to Almighty God, God, I need your deliverance. I need your salvation. I need you to save me from my messed up situation. I'm desperate for you. No one else can help me but you. Sometimes we just are not desperate enough. And you know the reason why? We have multiple backup plans. We're crying to God, but we're saying, God, I'm coming to you first, but just in case you don't work out, I got plan B, C, and D. So we're not desperate enough. The psalmist here is coming to God and he's saying, God, I have no plan outside of you. I'm desperate for you. Save me. It was a desperate cry. Sometimes we need to approach God like there is no other solution but him. And be desperate for him. This was a desperate cry. It was a dependent cry. It was a deep cry. But notice, fourthly, it was a devoted cry. In verse 145, the psalmist says, I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. Verse 146, he echoes a similar sentiment. He says, I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. He's saying, I'm crying to you, God, but in my cry, I also promise to do my part. Many people have this missing from their cry. And even when they do, it is not a genuine response. Oh, God, I need you. I'm here in my hospital bed. And if I get out of this hospital, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to be faithful to you. God, if you help me get out of prison, I'm going to do the world for you. But God delivers and gets them out of trouble and totally forget God. God, you help me pay off these bills. Listen, I'm going to tithe. I'm going to give to you. Sometimes we make promises to God and we wonder if we don't recognize that God knows the future. God knows exactly what you're going to do before you do it. And listen, because of his amazing grace, he still delivers it. Listen, the grace of God is amazing. When we come to God and promise, we need to recognize God already knows what you're going to do. The psalmist says, I'm giving a cry of devotion. It's a devoted cry. But notice number five, it's a diligent cry. In verse number 147 and 148, the psalmist is expressing the fact that in his cry, he sought the Lord diligently. He says in verse 147, he says, I prevented the dawning of the morning and I cried. I hoped in thy word. He's saying, God, I sought you early in the morning. And he said in verse 148, he says, I sought you even late at night. He says, my eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. He was saying, I'm diligent in seeking you. How consistently and how diligently are you willing to seek God for what you need? Are you going to stop when you think you haven't gotten the answer in a timely manner? Stories told of the... Jesus rather told the story in a parable of the widow or the lady who was determined that she would not give up. She would not stop. I want you to turn there because Jesus was making a very clear statement regarding being consistent and diligent in seeking his face in answers to our prayer. In seeking answers to our prayers. Look at Luke chapter 18 in this parable. And I'm going to read it. I want you to notice what he's saying here. He says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to do what? To pray and not to faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. She came unto him, saying, Avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he be along with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Jesus was here using an illustration. It almost seems humorous. That he's saying, listen, this woman is pleading, even going to an unjust judge. And asking him time after time to do something that he already said he wasn't going to do. But because he no longer wants to hear her crying, he decides to give in. God is, he's saying, when it comes to God who is just and who's holy, how would he not hear us after we come to him time and time again in faith, seeking him desperately? So this psalmist was diligent in his cry. But notice finally, this psalmist's cry was a discerning cry. In verses 149 to 152, here are some things that, listen, we ought to recognize that when we cry, we ought to be crying for the right reason. We ought to be crying with the right motive. You know, some people, they cry because they're seeking to basically almost, they're trying to manipulate you. And so the crying is done with an insincere motive. But the psalmist here cries and he has discerned some things that will cause God to respond to him positively. Notice some things very quickly here. Why was it a discerning cry? Look at verse number 149. Recognize that the psalmist was subject to God's will. He says, God, I'm subject to your will. I'm crying to you, but I want your will. Look at what he says. Hear my voice. He's crying from a place of hurt, but at the back of that cry, he still says, Hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness. O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgment. He's saying, God, I'm crying for you to meet a particular need, but I want your will in all of it. I can't tell you how many times personally, and even as a family, that we've prayed that God would meet a particular need and prayed for something. And I'm not talking about wanting something sinful or evil, but praying that God would meet a particular need. But at the core of it, listen, God, whatever you do, I want your will. My friends, listen, it works out every time. Because God said, even if you're praying for the wrong thing, because you want my will, and I know that that's what you want at your heart, listen, I would turn the doors, I would open the doors, the right doors, close the right doors to direct you to my will. He says, I'm subject to your will. But he also says, here's something else I know. I'm surrounded by wickedness. Verse 150, they draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. He says, I'm conscious of the evil around me. My friends, we're living in a world that we need to be aware of what's taking place around us, the prevalence of sin and Satan's agenda. Don't be naive to what's happening in our world. Tommy says, I'm surrounded by your wickedness. I'm subject to your will. But he says, thank God that even in my desperation and my cry from the depths of my soul, I'm shielded by your wings. Verse 151, he says, thou art near, oh Lord. He says, you know, sometimes we cry and we're crying from this place of desperation as if God is no longer on the throne. And we are crying as if we are all by ourselves and God has abandoned me. The psalmist says, I'm crying from a place of desperation, but God, I know that you are still right there. I'm shielded by your wings. He says as well, I'm crying, but I recognize that I'm standing on your word. He says, all thy commandments are truth. My friends, it's one thing to cry from the emotions of our heart, but let's never lose the intellectual understanding and the spiritual understanding that God's word is true. That ought to give us comfort. That ought to give us hope. It's a discerning cry. I'm standing on your word. I'm shielded by your wings. I'm surrounded by wickedness. I'm subject to your will. But he says, finally, I've seen your ways. Verse 52, he says, concerning thy testimonies, look at this, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. God, I know you have a track record. I'm crying, but my cry is a cry of faith, not a cry of criticism. And all of this is a cry from the psalmist. But he says, don't misconstrue my cry. I'm crying from a place of hurt, but I know God is still in control. God is for me. God has done some things in the past, and I know who my God is. And I know that he is still faithful. And so listen, it's okay to cry. It's okay to let out that emotion, but don't lose the discernment of knowing that God is for me. And God is on the throne. That person who did all the evil against you. Listen, God sees. God is not taken by surprise. Cry if you need to. But remember, God is still in control. And the psalmist says, this is a cry from my heart. But there's some things about this cry that I know. And it'll keep us in difficulty, and even when that emotion is raw, we can have an understanding that God is right there. It's okay to cry, but let's remember some things like this psalmist, that God is right there, and he's able to shield us from the difficulties and all the things that happened. He, in his divine wisdom, have allowed them to cross our paths. The psalmist here gives a cry of the heart.